Welcome to Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart.
I'm always trying to be authentically myself in whatever I do, whenever I'm on stage, whenever I'm talking to people, and it's much the same on the air. Of course, we all have a duty to make sure that we're getting the right kind of information, we're getting all of the relevant things that happen in a timely fashion, but we have that room to put our own spin on things, so I look forward to doing that.
Maybe you recognize that voice. It belongs to Keenan Harmon, and he's been an announcer at WDAV for about 3 years now, hosting the Sunday night music and filling in for other on-air folks. Now you can enjoy his warm presence and voice weeknights from 7 to 9 as part of our new evening lineup. That lineup also includes a bit of a change for Phil Vavra, who comes on at 4, but then stays with listeners through 6 p.m. for the Supper Club dinner hour. Both Keenan and Phil are excellent companions for that time of day as they share their knowledge of and enthusiasm for the music. And to help you get to know Keenan a little bit better as we embark on this new schedule, Phil sat down with him recently for a little Q&A. You'll hear that later on in the podcast, as well as Phil's fanfare segment with all the latest things that you can do in our area. First, though, we're going to take in some public art. If you drive around Charlotte neighborhoods like South End, Noda, Plaza Midwood, Biddleville, and the West Side, and Uptown, you'll see lots of colorful murals on the sides of buildings. They bring a vibrant quality to the urban landscape, and many of them are the creations of talented artists who live right here in the Charlotte region. For art lovers, the murals turn the city into an open-air gallery that can be enjoyed for free. Sometimes they teach us about the history of the city or a neighborhood. Sometimes they act as memorials. And almost always, they're inspiring and aspirational in some way. You can gauge the cultural health of a particular place by its public art. And if the number of street murals is anything to go by, Charlotte is in pretty good shape. Recently, I decided I wanted to get a look at the paintings adorning Charlotte's exteriors, so I took a tour of some of Uptown's murals with Michaela Benter as my guide. Michaela is a mural artist herself, who's well acquainted with many of the creators who've contributed to Charlotte's muralscape. Michaela also works for Charlotte is Creative, with the job title Creative Catalyst, a totally unique title for a totally unique job. It's really her job to bring people and projects together.
Well, I guess we can cross the street first.
Okay.
We set off for Luminous Lane, an alley between 3rd and 4th Streets.
Thank you.
That's covered with murals. It was curated by artists Sydney Duarte and Treasy Trees for the 2023 Charlotte Shout Festival. Since 2023, they've added even more murals to the space.
Treasy and Sydney during 2023 Charlotte Shout, a 17-day arts festival in Uptown, were like, oh, well, what if we take this alleyway and cover it in murals and make it really beautiful, i.e. Luminous Lane, you know, bringing light to darkness. So it started off with like 12 to 16 artists, and then by the end of the entire project turned into over 40 who covered the entire alleyway with their styles, their visual art processes, and took the theme of, you know, Luminous Lane and ran with it.
Okay. Well, I'm curious to see it.
Before we go into the lane itself, Michaela shows me murals on 4th Street, just outside Luminous Lane.
So we are at North College and 4th Street. And so we have a bunch of huge murals right here on the 1 South parking garage. The biggest one we're looking right now was done by an Australian artist named Soflis. His tag's right over there. Basically, homie came in like a thief in the night. And within like 4 days, knocked out this huge mural, right? The girl that's holding the earth, that's actually modeled after his daughter. And then there's like a little pinpoint right there on the map. That's of where Charlotte is.
Oh, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea was like, either tech is going to be the reason that we like, you know, that we disintegrate and like the earth falls to chaos and light begins anew, or it's going to be the reason, the thing that connects us all and then allows us to communicate and prosper.
Michaela then introduces me to a few more murals on 4th Street, one by Darian Fleming and one by Matt Moore. And she points out that the mural by Darian Fleming depicts a young boy stacking alphabet blocks in such a way that the letters spell peace, P-E-A-C-E. There's also a special symbol in the painting that means peace. Through this project, mural creator Sydney Duarte and Treasy Trees joined the Peace for Peace movement, and that's P-I-E-C-E for P-E-A-C-E movement, which is an international project to use art to foster peace in communities.
You'll see a lot of references to peace or like peace signs, and then they have like a very specific symbol. You'll see that literally everywhere. Like there'll be buildings, abandoned buildings in Noda or kind of around Uptown that have peace and graffiti, or like that sign is prominently featured. They try to incorporate it into like every project that they do.
You know, I really like the idea that there's like this symbol.
Yeah.
It's almost like, it's not quite a Where's Waldo thing, but you know, if you know about it,
you can look for it. And then once you like know what you're looking for, you're like, oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk a little bit this way before we go into the alleyway.
With a few more steps, we move on to Luminous Lane itself, which you can tell would have been a drab space indeed, if not for the murals.
So technically this is the end of the street. And then as you can see, we've got a couple of, you know, those pedestrian bridges leading from the garage into the building right next to us. Personal favorites. So I mentioned like Osiris Rain. He did this flower right here on the corner. That's Treasy Trees right there with the like lion head. A lot of these artists decided to do the project either pro bono or were just like, I just want to be involved because it's a really cool like experience to have, especially since it was a lot of artists' first time using lifts. A lot of community art, like paint, was shared too, so like not everyone had their own paint that they could have purchased but were able to try it. Mm-hmm. And some of these pieces are some of the artists' like biggest pieces they'd done up until that point.
So had some of them never done murals at all?
Yeah, literally some of their pieces are like the first ones here.
Michaela guides me through the many murals and gives me the backstory on a number of them, too many of them to talk about here. One artist, Pam Imhoff, also known as the Left Brain Artist, is known for working with fiber, and her mural, which is an homage to the Charlotte Shout Festival, incorporates large swirling crocheted elements into the mural. It's a multimedia piece of paint and yarn. And then we stop at a mural by the artist Hancho, who passed away in 2024. His mural is one of his last large-scale pieces and serves as a memorial to him. And then we make our way to the actual entrance to Luminous Lane, which is our exit.
And then if we round the corner, obviously we have our like Luminous Lane tagline. So that's super fun. And then around the building is another like Sydney Treasy piece of someone like going for like a light.
The works on this end of the alley are by the project creators, Sydney Duarte and Treasy Trees. Trees' mural at the entrance of the lane, referred to by Michaela just now, is an inviting portrait of his friend, who is painting a colorful scene all around her and welcoming visitors to explore Luminous Lane.
Yeah, and then Look at us, right across from Wells Fargo.
Oh, yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
We emerge.
And we emerge on Fifth Street.
Into corporate Charlotte.
Okay. Into the literal heart of corporate Charlotte.
Yeah.
Michaela Benter and I head to 7th Street Market to grab a bite to eat and continue our conversation about Charlotte's murals. She tells me she's not sure how many there are in the city, but that it counts in the hundreds, and a quick AI search says there are about 440. They tend to be funded through public-private partnerships and private donations. For example, the City of Charlotte and the Arts and Science Council make grants available for new projects. I ask Michaela what she thinks street murals do for an urban space.
I think it does a lot of things. Some folks might call it beautification, adding to an environment of like brick and gray and concrete. I think it's also a reference to a nod to history in a way, depending on the artist, the narrative, the story they're trying to share. Sometimes it's also about creating like placemaking or establishing a place in a spot that like may not have been considered that, but then also creating a there where you will literally actively go find it, right? I think also once we start talking about arts and culture within the within our travel ordinances, how we want people to come into the city and stay and experience it. Arts and culture is going to be a huge reason why there's employee retention and why people move to Charlotte and stick around for a while beyond just because they're moving here for a job.
And she leaves me with this advice for engaging with Charlotte's murals and making the most of the experience.
do your research. Like, see who the artist is. Like, go to the page. Everyone tags their pieces, you know? So definitely take the time out to, like, if you take a picture in front of one, or, like, if you take a picture with one or just of it, and then you want to put it on social, like, be sure to shout out the artist. Like, it's the work that they do. Like, obviously they get paid for it, but also you never know how far, like, one click or someone's, like, follow or a DM can really brighten somebody's day, especially in this crazy world we're living in now. Like, you genuinely never know what happens with just, like, one touch point, even if it is via social media.
So I'm taking Michaela's advice and including the names and social media handles of artists mentioned in this podcast at the Piedmont Arts Podcast webpage to make it easier for you to look them up if you're interested. We're also including links to some sites where you can learn more about Charlotte's murals, and there are photos and videos I took on my tour of Luminous Lane with Michaela Benter. Again, she is the creative catalyst at Charlotte Is Creative and is herself an artist with some Charlotte murals to her credit. I encourage you to check out the Piedmont Arts section of WDAV.org so you can see some of the murals Michaela and I explored. If you want to take a tour yourself, go to the website artwalksclt.com. Well, what to do for fun in coming days? Let's let Phil Vavra tell us.
All right, Rachel, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and the calendar is already stuffed with all sorts of great events, from marvelous musical performances to dazzling light displays. The holiday season is here, so let's feast on some fanfare. University of North Carolina School of the Arts is staging a production of Tennessee Williams' The Rose Tattoo, November 20th through 23rd, at the Patrons Theater in Winston-Salem. Set among a colony of Sicilian fisher folk on the American Gulf Coast, this stormy drama is the story of a woman for whom love was stronger than death. Middle Sea Jazz in Uptown Charlotte will host two performances by vocalist Tyra Scott on Friday, November 21st at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. The Durham, North Carolina native and North Carolina Central University graduate will be interpreting the classic sounds of Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, and Etta James. Craft cocktails and small plates are served before each show. Speedway Christmas, the Southeast's largest drive-through holiday lights display, returns to Charlotte Motor Speedway in Concord November 21st through January 4th. You'll see more than 5 million lights on a four-mile course, many of which are synchronized to music, plus drive-in Christmas movies and the Christmas Village with food, vendors, the ice maze, and photos with Santa. The Western Piedmont Symphony presents Masterworks Italian Inspirations at Lenore Ryan University's P.E. Monroe Auditorium in Hickory on Saturday, November 22nd at 7:30. This musical journey through Italy will feature beloved works by Bach, Pärt, Sammartini, Haydn, and Mendelssohn. The Mooresville Fine Arts Festival is a chance to enjoy and shop for the work of local and regional artists at the Charles Mack Citizen Center in Mooresville on Saturday, the 22nd. Admission is free. Now, before you settle in for a day of feasting and football, take your family to Tryon Street in Uptown Charlotte for the annual Novant Health Thanksgiving Eve Parade on Wednesday, November 26th. The fun starts at 5:30 p.m. and will include dance groups, marching bands, fabulous floats, and even cookies with Santa. Of course, you can watch the parade for free, but VIP seating is also available. Other holiday events to put on your radar include the 6th annual Light the Nights Festival with a Christmas market, snow tubing and ice skating at Truist Field in Uptown Charlotte, the annual CPI Security Charlotte Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving morning at South Park Mall, and Winter at Whitewater with outdoor ice skating and an illuminated winter trail at the Whitewater Center. You can read my complete fanfare feature with even more festive experiences at WDAV.org. And fanfare is made possible in part by Bragg Financial.
As promised, next we have the conversation between Phil Vavra and Keenan Harmon, your late-day classical companions on WDAV.
I'm Phil Vavra, and as you may know, Piedmont Arts is produced by Classical Public Radio, 89.9 WDAV, and you may have noticed a change on the radio station recently, an upgrade to the weekday lineup. As of November 3rd, Keenan Harmon is now hosting the evening shift from 7 to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and while Keenan is new to that time slot, he's certainly not new to the WDAV audience, having hosted the Sunday night music and various other shifts as needed since November of 2022. So, by the way, happy anniversary. We thought we'd take this opportunity to get to know Keenan and his musical background a little more, since we'll be hearing a lot more of him. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Phil. It's good to be here.
And we should start by mentioning that when you're not on the air, you're performing all over as a professional trumpeter. I heard that you actually first came to WDAV as the result of a collaboration you did for Noteworthy a few years ago.
Oh, yes. Actually, I got called in the off season. At the time when I got called, I had no idea that it was affiliated with WDAV, so it might have been a different path if it was meant to be for me to be here.
But, serendipity, right?
Absolutely, or kismet, however you want to look at it, but I'm very grateful.
All right, so well, let's talk about your music career, because you're well-versed in multiple genres and have performed in a variety of settings. Chamber music, jazz, theater, probably more. Do you lean toward one or the other?
For a long time, it was more about the financial type of incentive.
Right.
But no, I've kept both disciplines. And when I look at my pedagogical life, working with students and people in the community who want to study trumpet, it's always been very rooted in classical and repertoire. Because the majority of my students that have gone on to study at conservatories, they've studied classical repertoire. But then a few years ago, it was the opportunity for me to start up the Nexus Jazz Group. And in tandem to that, a collective came together that is known as Musikheim. So we've now made the chamber music organization its own thing, because we were already doing recitals. So now it's more of an official thing. So now it's half and half. As far as the calls for any show that I would get or any substitution for an orchestra, that's as common and seasonal as it ever is. So I have to stay fresh in that. But as far as artistic endeavors, I have to keep the discipline very much rooted in both classical and jazz. And with those, anything can go in between that. So unless it's like a country music gig or something like that, you know, that would be a little different. But most things, if you're straddling both of those and doing well enough, you can fit yourself into anything else.
What age range of students are you working with?
The majority of my students are within their teenage years, so 11 to 18. I do have a few adult students. My oldest student is 78. He has actually been a donor here at the station, so he has contributed during the campaign. I hope he'll do that again. And then I also have a student who's in his 60s. He's a comeback player, so the age range, there's no limit to it, but the majority of my students are teenagers.
And working with those younger students, teenagers, what's your take on the current state of music education?
Well, I think part of my niche in pedagogy, because I've done it on the college level too. I've done a lecture, at least one, almost every year in the last 5 years, both as a guest artist, as, you know, working with a trumpet studio, but also just talking about lecturing on freelancing and building a private studio. Because as far as colleges go, that's a whole different set of circumstances. You know, it's I'm not going to say it's removed from the music education of school age kids, but there's a need to kind of have some continuity. So with all of the endeavors of schools getting back into the swing of things post-COVID, I and a lot of other freelance musicians and people who have just rooted themselves in pedagogy purely, there's always that need. We talk about community here at the station for that continuity of going from their respective school band or orchestra programs into whatever they would do in life. So my take on music education is it does the best it can. You know, if you're a local music educator and you're having to deal with whatever kind of administration or whatever kind of school district, if you have the access to professional musicians who are willing to teach students, that enables this whole thing where everyone's getting a similar type of education with their instrument. And that's more traditional worldwide and historically as well.
So how does all of your experience as a musician inform how you approach being a host on WDAV? And, well, you're now presenting the evening opus at 8 o'clock each night.
Yeah, I was very happy to when that was presented to me, because talking about music is a thing that I love to do. I've loved in the times that I filled in when Frank had the spot. That was probably my favorite part of it, is to just get whole pieces of music. So I'm always trying to be authentically myself in whatever I do, whenever I'm on stage, whenever I'm talking to people. And it's much the same on the air. Of course, we all have a duty to make sure that we're getting the right kind of information, we're getting all of the relevant things that happen in a timely fashion, but we have that room to put our own spin on things. So I look forward to doing that, and I hope that that just continues as far as the dialogues that we have here at the station. And like I said, we toss around that idea of community. So I hope I bring that into just the Evening Opus and everything.
All right. Opportunity for a free plug here. Nexus performing
in January. Yeah. So we're playing at Blumenthal Arts Stage Door Theater on January 31st. It's a matinee. So it's 2:30. It'll be about a 2.5 hour program. We'll throw in an intermission this time because the last time we played there, it was a 2 hour concert, no intermission. No one complained, and it'll be a different program. It'll be bigger than what we did last year. So very much looking forward to that.
That's Keenan Harmon, your host every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m., including the Evening Opus at 8, and continuing on with the Sunday night music from 10 to midnight on Classical Public Radio 89.9 WDAV and WDAV.org. Thanks, Keenan.
Thank you, Phil.
Keenan and Phil have great music for you to enjoy weekdays 4 to 9 p.m. I hope you'll give them a listen. And remember that WDAV provides 24/7 classical music at 89.9 FM and WDAV.org. If you're looking for some peace and beauty, you really can't beat it. That's it for this week's Piedmont Arts. You can find Piedmont Arts at wdav.org/podcasts. Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcasts. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm Rachel Stewart.